Auburn is about to face the toughest defensive line yet. It's time for Know the Enemy, Texas A&M.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, Know the Enemy edition, Auburn versus Texas A&M. I really appreciate you guys jumping in. Hopefully you're traveling safe, headed to the plains, ready for a big night game, all the festivities, get the tailgate all day long for the very first time, I guess, all year for an SEC game. So really looking forward to it. But we're going to break down Texas A&M, talk about them on both sides of the ball, and then how we think. The biggest key matchups to watch for, that to see if Auburn can have some success against this team that's fighting for playoffs, fighting for the SEC championship. They got a lot to play for. We're going to dive into that in just a second. But before we get started, let's give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% bonus in the casino. And they got all the games that you like to play, blackjack, any kind of card game, slots, all that good stuff. 300% bonus. It's crazy. So you can go in there. You could go in there and play roulette and then just put 50% of your bets. I put all your bets on one color. And then in theory, you should win half of those. So, hey, that could give you a free money right there that you can play with and then take to the sports book and bet any way you like. So check them out, mybookie.ag. All right, so Auburn obviously takes on Texas A&M. I think this is going to be one of the toughest matchups for Auburn all year. I'll explain why here in just a little bit, but they're 8-2 coming in ranked 15th. I know a lot of jokes were made about Mike Elko and his Freudian slip about – they're not looking past Auburn, but he actually said Texas first on accident when he's trying to preach that they're not looking past Auburn. But I don't think they're going to be looking past Auburn. Again, these two games that they have remaining, Auburn and Texas, are critical to their playoff chances. You lose to Auburn, you're pretty much out of the playoff. You beat Auburn, you still got a chance. You beat Auburn, and then you sort of have a winner-take-all scenario versus Texas, your big rival that you haven't played in years. You get a chance to not only clinch your spot in the SEC title game, because you've only lost one. They've only lost one SEC game, and you also get a chance to solidify yourself as a playoff contender, because you got to imagine if you knock off number three, if you win this game and you knock off number two or three in the country – at 15, that should give you a pretty good resume to slide you into the playoff conversation. So I don't necessarily see them coming in and this being a look past Auburn game. They better not. And I think the last time that they came here, night game, the emotion, they were not very good when they came last time. But again, I think they're going to be ready. I think Mike Elko is a pretty solid coach. They seem to have taken on his identity. They're a tough team, and I don't know. I don't see them really looking past Auburn. I think Auburn's going to be in for a fight. So we'll just have to see what happens. But we're going to talk about offense first. So offense is a little bit of an unknown, and I'll tell you why. Against South Carolina, the second drive of the game, let me start back. They want to run the ball more than they throw the ball. They want to run the ball twice as much as they throw the ball. And now, especially now that they have gone all in on Marcel Reed as their quarterback, who's he's a very mobile quarterback, and he can run the ball really well as well. But 2 weeks ago against South Carolina, their number one running back, even after missing a whole basically two games, he's the SEC's third leading rusher, Le'Veon Moss. He injured his knee, season-ending injury, I think on their second drive after like a 20-yard reception. tore something up in his knee. So they had a really strong 1-2 punch. So they were able to really pound both guys, Le'Veon Moss and Amari Daniels, and now they don't have that option anymore. So what will they do? Like, how will they handle that running back rotation? Because again, they want to run the ball. That's how they want to play on offense. They want to control the game on the ground, which I like, because I think I like Auburn in their ability to stop the run. So who do they go to? I just mentioned him a little bit, Amari Daniels. So it's not like there's a huge drop-off between Le'Veon Moss and their number two running back, Amari Daniels, maybe even more explosive at times than Le'Veon. But he's a solid back. I think his first game as a full starter, he averaged like 15 yards a carry. Now, granted, it was New Mexico State, but they do still have a solid running back there. And Amari is, 5'9", 215, bowling ball, pounding, but he can also take it to the house. So they're going to still try to feed him. I would imagine he's going to get a huge workload. So Auburn's got to be ready to they better be ready to get after it and stop the run, because that's where they if they can run the ball, if they can control the ground, they will grind you, and it's going to open up so much in their passing game. That's their identity. Their identity is running the ball. Now, can they do that without Le'Veon Moss against a very, very solid SEC defense? I would venture to say this will be the best defense they've played all year. I'm just looking at their schedule. South Carolina does have a pretty stout defensive line, but overall, I think Auburn's probably the more solid defense that they've played, maybe all season, if you look at their whole schedule. So we'll see how that affects their identity. They've gone all in on Marcel Reed. He's their guy. I think Connor Wiegman's done at Texas A&M. I don't think he'll ever play another snap. They've been sort of the rotational deal, but I think they're all in now on Marcel Reed. He's been an exciting player to watch because he's very mobile. He, believe it or not, as a freshman, he still protects the ball. Like, he's thrown 9 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Now, the 2 interceptions he's thrown are in the last 2 games. So he's thrown an interception against South Carolina, and he threw an interception against New Mexico State. So that could be something to watch. Could Auburn pressure him? Can Auburn frustrate him, contain him, and make him make some bad decisions? That's going to be, to me, the key. Auburn has played a lot of mobile quarterbacks this year, though. So that is something that's very, very beneficial to Auburn. And then with the emergence of DeMarcus Riddick, I think it really helps Auburn in the sense of being able to eliminate, or at least give them the chance to eliminate. Now, they still got to do it. Eliminate one of Marcel's biggest attributes, which is being able to extend plays and throw the ball down the field. So if you had to look at a mobility comparison, just looking at the quarterbacks, I think the New Mexico quarterback, Devin Dampier, very, very similar to him. And remember, he frustrated Auburn a lot, and that was really before they had really locked into their quote-unquote contain package, or how they contain mobile quarterbacks. So I think the mobility is very similar to that guy. I just think Auburn's better now than they were then at being able to defend the run from a quarterback. So I like Auburn's matchup. I like the Auburn's matchup here. I really do. They don't really have a quote-unquote go-to receiver. They have 4 guys. One of them's injured, but that sort of get all the production. Like, if you look at their yards per game and their total yards, there's only one that really has anything remotely significantly more than the others, and that's Noah Thomas. I guess you would call him technically the go-to receiver, even though he's probably only got about 100 more yards total on the season than the next guy. So they really don't have to have – one particular guy go off. They can spread it around when they need to. But Noah is 6'6", 200 pounds. So he's going to be a matchup issue, I think, at times for Auburn, if it's just because I mean, he's a matchup issue for anybody. Like, you just don't typically have DBs that are much taller than 6'2", 6'3". So he's going to be bigger than most defensive backs that he plays against. Now, Auburn's had some success against taller receivers, but still, Noah Thomas is going to be one to watch. He's got 4 touchdowns on the season. That's more than anybody on their team. And when Marcel gets to running around, he could be one that you just sort of look for as a threat, as plays break down, to just throw it up and see if he can make a play. So that's why the importance of containing Marcel and heating him up is so incredibly, like, the matchup of the game. To me, I'm way more. The matchup of this side of the ball. I'm way more concerned about the defense than I am their offense. I really do think this is a good matchup for Auburn on offense versus our defense. We're built right now to help contain mobile quarterbacks. We're very good against stopping the run. Dorian Mahusi's been just incredible at filling gaps and stopping the run. And then obviously you still have Eugene Asante that can make plays, and Austin Keys as well. Robert Woodyard's come on of late of being able to help diagnose run plays and have that closing speed to hit them in the backfield or hit them for short gains. Just been very, 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 very good against the run, and then very, very good overall on defense, especially containing mobile quarterbacks. So they have a little bit of an advantage just from a sheer talent standpoint on that side of the ball, but I think Auburn has just like the best makeup of a defense to be able to match up against their offense. Like it's just a bad matchup for them and their offense, in my opinion. Now, they may score 50 points, but at least on paper and what I've seen over the year, over this whole season, it feels like this is sort of a tricky matchup for them, especially coming in road game, night game. They just lost a road game, night game. We'll have to see. Auburn's got all the motivation to try to, you know, win something, and especially in front of all these recruits and things like that. I really like the matchup here. The defense is where I'm concerned. We're going to talk about the defense in just a second, but before we do that, give a quick shout-out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Get your custom portfolio analysis absolutely free. Check on your – make sure you're not paying fees. Crazy fees, make sure you're protected from the IRS, and make sure you're taking advantage of everything you could possibly take advantage of to take your dollar as far as you can take it. You work so hard to save it. Why not just have a second or third opinion to make sure everything's working the way it's supposed to? So check him out. Tell him War Eagle, tell him we sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Again, the defense is what I'm concerned about. Their defense is what I'm most concerned about. They're the number one run defense in the conference versus conference opponents, which is not a good recipe for Auburn, because Auburn obviously wants to be able to, you're one of your better offensive weapons, arguably the best offensive weapon, is Jarquez Hunter. And when Auburn can't run the ball, it makes everything sort of bogged down. Or vice versa. When Auburn can't pass the ball, it makes Auburn not be able to run the ball, but they can shut the run down. They can force Auburn to have to throw the ball. And we've seen that when that has happened, Auburn has had struggles at times. We've not faced a better defensive front, in my opinion, than what we're going to see this evening. Even including Georgia. Georgia's defensive line is good, but they're just sort of those guys that get in the way. Texas A&M has guys that they build the defense around that make plays. So Georgia's guys get in the way, and then their linebackers make the plays. This defensive front makes the plays. They're nasty. They're really good. There's two future first-rounders that we're going to talk about in just a second. But on the flip side, I don't think they faced a running back like Jarquez Hunter. And I think there's been at times where Auburn's shown that they're pretty good at being able to run the ball. So that to me is going to be the key matchup for what decides this game. Is Auburn able to contain, able to hold, able to push around this Texas A&M defensive front, which is going to be the best defensive line you faced all year. You got Shamar Turner and Nick Skourton. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but they're unreal. I mean, you got Shamar, who's like 6'4", 300, and then Nick, who's like 6'5", 285, and is a really good guy, not only stopping the run, but getting after the passer. The matchup between our offensive line and their defensive line will determine the outcome of this game, in my opinion. To me, their biggest vulnerability is the secondary. They're 14th in the conference against defending the pass versus conference opponents. But the problem is, can you protect long enough to be able to exploit it? So Auburn may have some opportunities with Keandre Lambert-Smith, with Cam Coleman, with even Malcolm Simmons to be able to create some big plays in the passing game, which Auburn's going to have to do because it's just going to be really tough to drive 10, 12 plays against this defense. They're just going to make you make a mistake eventually and put you behind the chains, and that can't happen with this offense, with Auburn's offense against this defense. It just can't happen. Otherwise, you're going to get embarrassed. As much as people say, pound the rock, feed Jarquez, give him 20 carries. I mean, ultimately, I would love to see that because to me, if that happens, that means the offense is working. But in order to do that, Auburn's going to have to be balanced. They're going to have to be balanced. You're going to have to be able to throw the ball today to be able to run it. You're just going to have to. You're going to, because they're just too good to not have to respect one aspect of the offense. If they don't have to respect one aspect of the offense, you're screwed. They're going to pin their ears back. They're going to shut you down, and there's nothing you can do about it because they're that good and they're that deep. So Auburn's going to – I don't even think they have to load the box. You know, people say, oh, they're going to load the box to stop the run. I don't even think they have to do that. So can Auburn get some push early? Can Auburn create some balance on offense? I'm just not sure how good we are on offense, on the offensive line, to be able to protect Peyton. One thing South Carolina did that worked, they did score 40 points on A&M. Their quarterback, Lenore Sellers, had over 100 yards rushing in the game. Peyton's really dinged up right now. I think he said he slid more in the last game than he has his whole career. So he's not just 100% healthy. And you really need him to be mobile to make this offense work, to really take advantage of if there are vulnerabilities in Texas A&M's defense. His mobility is going to be key. So how mobile can he actually be? That's just my biggest concern, and it's been my biggest concern. Can Auburn protect Peyton? Can Auburn get push to give Jarquez – he doesn't even need a big hole, just a small crease – but can you even get that? That's going to decide the game 100%. I mean, and then if you can get it to the fourth quarter, who knows what can happen. You're unsure about the kicking game. Their kicker's unreal, and we're, you know, experimenting with a walk-on guy who's shown some promise at times. But if you get into a tight game and you got to have a kick to extend, if you got to have a kick to tie or a kick to win, do you have that? And then if you get into overtime and you got to kick, like what do you do? It's just, there's a lot of things that Auburn is going to have to overcome to be able to pull out a win here, even though the spread is only like 2 points. It's crazy. So that's going to be that to me, that'll determine the game. Can Auburn protect Peyton? Can Auburn get some sort of push? That you don't have to look any further than that. Auburn's offensive line versus their defensive line. That decides the game, in my opinion. So I think it'll be a low-scoring game. So if you're looking at a betting line, I might be looking at the under. If it's anything under 48 points, if it's anything over 48 points or over, I would take the under. So I don't know exactly what the line is, but I think it'll be a low-scoring game unless Auburn just cannot get anything going offensively, and then, you know, eventually the dam will probably break on defense and they'll be able to put some points up. But I don't know. I just got a weird feeling. It's probably just the bug that Auburn's going to make this thing exciting. So We'll have to see what happens. But again, that's what I'm watching. Can Auburn protect Peyton? Can Auburn run the ball? That's going to be the key, because I think we're going to be okay on defense. Okay on defense for at least three quarters, you know, unless we're turning the ball over and putting them in bad spots until they just, you know, run out of gas. I think we'll be all right. So let's see what happens. We really need it in front of all these recruits. You got a surprise. Usman Chrome is coming to the game. Probably I'll be on the lookout for Naeem Offord. Surely he'll probably show up as well. Saw some flip predictions coming in from Usman Chrome. We'll have to talk about that on Sunday Night Live. We'll have a reaction show, win or lose, and then we'll obviously go live Sunday night and have some fun. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Drive safe. Enjoy the day. And let's see if we can come home with a win tonight. Sorely, sorely need it bad. So, appreciate you guys listening. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.